Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Yud Tes, the last blot of the Masechta, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Ches, Amid Beis, at the second Mishnah on the Amid, the Mishnah more towards the bottom, the last Mishnah of our Masechta. Says the Mishnah, Shnei Ginois Zua Gavzu, if there are two gardens, one on top of the other, meaning that the two gardens are not level with each other, rather there's a garden on the bottom, there's a vertical hill, a vertical incline, and then another garden on top. Vayerek benetayim, and vegetables are growing out of that vertical area. And the question is, to whom do we give those vegetables? Ramei's opinion is shel elyon. The vegetables belong to the person from the higher garden. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion shel tachton, that the vegetables belong to the person from the lower garden, owns the lower garden. And the Gemara and the Mishnah goes on to explain their debate. Amra Meya, im yirtze elyon likachas afroy. The basis of Rameya's opinion is that the vegetables are growing out of the soil of the upper area, and therefore they should belong to the person who owns that upper area. And Rameya makes this point, for if the person who owns the upper garden were to take away his earth from where these vegetables are drawing nourishment, ain kanyerek, we would not have vegetables here. And therefore he is the one entitled to these vegetables. Amar Yehuda. Yehuda says no. Im yirtza if the person on the lower level will to fill the entire area between his area and the upper area with soil in Kanyerek, we would not have any vegetables here. And therefore, given that he could do that, that gives him the upper hand. Omar Rameyer. Rameyer continues to say, since both of them have claims, what should we do to determine who gets the vegetables? We look from where the vegetables draw nourishment, and based on that, we will give the person with the upper field the vegetables. Amar Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon comes with a third opinion. Any vegetables that the owner of the higher garden can reach with his hand and take, Hareu Shaloi, belong to the person with the upper garden. Vashar, all the rest of the vegetables, Shatachten, belong to the person from the lower garden. And there's a number of opinions in the Mefarshim, how to understand the opinion of Rav Shimon. Some understand Rav Shimon's opinion to be saying, to be a pshara, to be a compromise. We have a legitimate debate here between Rameya and Rav Yehuda, and we don't know exactly whose opinion to follow. So what we do is, Rav Shimon comes up with this compromise. That's one way to Mefarshim learn. The Ramban learns that Rav Shimon agrees with Rav Yehuda, that the person on the bottom is the person that should be able to keep the vegetables. But what he's saying is that since we have to take into consideration the person on top, because as he does actually contribute, it's his ground that's contributing, therefore Rav Shimon says that the person on top should get any vegetables that he can reach. However, Rashi, and that is the opinion we're going to follow, takes the opposite opinion. He says that actually Rav Shimon agrees with the opinion of Rameya, that since these vegetables are being nourished from the top, it's the person on top who should get all of the vegetables. But because there is a concern for the person on the bottom that does make some sort of claim, therefore Rav Shimon says that any vegetables that the person on top can't reach, the person on bottom will keep. And what is the lumdus? What is the way it works that the person on top is relinquishing his rights to all the vegetables, because as we're explaining, Rav Shimon, according to Rashi's understanding, really holds that the person on top ought to get, in the upper garden, ought to get all the vegetables. He's only relinquishing, and Rashi uses the word being mafker. He's being mafker his rights to some of the vegetables to the person on bottom. Actually, the Paiskim are somewhat concerned with this explanation, because from here it seems, and it's a question that we've discussed, it's actually a machloikis beishame beishillel, from here it seems that hefker is possible to be done even to one individual, because what we're saying here is that the person on top is being mafker his rights to the person on bottom. And it's an old question if it's possible to do hefker just to one individual. And because it's actually machloikis beisham and beisilo. And because of this question, there are paiskim that want to suggest that it's not hefker that Rashi really means. It works more with a concept of yiyush, or perhaps a concept of matana. But hefker may be inappropriately used here, because you can't be mafker just to one individual. Furthermore, the Rishonim discuss, what would be the halacha in the area if the hill between the upper garden and lower garden is so significant that neither of them could reach it? Not the person on top could reach certain vegetables, nor the person on bottom could reach certain vegetables. Who would become the owner of those vegetables? So Rishonim suggests it would be the person on bottom that would become the owner of those vegetables. Could they explain as follows? For the person on top to get those vegetables, it's practically very difficult. The only real way you could get to those vegetables is by bringing a ladder into the property, into the bottom garden, and climbing up that ladder and getting to those vegetables. But that involves the upper garden owner actually entering the lower garden. On the other hand, the person who's already in the lower garden just brings a ladder into his own property, which is of course not as much of a significant act as bringing a ladder into someone else's property. And that's why the Paiskim suggests that the Rishonim already say that if it's an area that's not reachable by neither, we give it to the person on the bottom property. So now the Gemara, one more point the Ravid makes. The Ravid says that even if the person in the upper garden could reach all of the vegetables, in other words, it's not such a high hill, and he could reach all of the vegetables on the bottom, any vegetables that are within 3 tefachim of the ground, even if they're reachable by the person on top, says the Ravid, will go to the person on bottom. And I saw 2 explanations in the Achronim to explain the opinion of the Ravid. Some say that anything that's within 3 tefachim of the ground is considered belonging to the person, to that person. And therefore, the vegetables that are within 3 tefachim of the ground are considered belonging to the bottom property, and he will get them. Another pshat that I saw is that it's not because that anything in that area automatically belongs to him. Rather, there's a different explanation. If it's going to be a circumstance that all of the vegetables are within reach of the upper property, we're going to have a situation where the person on the bottom will be left with no vegetables. And certainly, we don't want to have such a situation where he should be left with nothing. And because of that, Chazal said, according to the Ravid, anything that's within 3 tefachim of the ground, we're going to award to the person on bottom. So now begins the Gemara in explaining the Machlokes from Meir Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Be'ikroi, regarding the root of the vegetable, Kula Amloi Pilgi De Elyon Hava, everybody agrees that the root of the vegetable, since it's nourishing from the soil of the upper garden, certainly belongs to the person on top. Ki Pligi, the entire Machloikas between Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda, says Rava, is regarding the Noifoi, the vegetables that are coming out of the root. Remei Sava, Shad the knife follows the root. And if everybody is of agreement that the root belongs to the upper garden, so will the knife belong to the upper garden. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Sofer, lo yamin shad the knife abasa ikroi. Just because we're giving the ikr to the person on top, that doesn't have any role. The knife could be given still to the person on bottom. That's posh pshat in the Gemara. Another way of learning that the Mefarshim explain, this is really based on the way the Gemara Masech the Gittin explains shadu naifu basa ikroi, is that when we have vegetables growing out of the root, but they're over somebody else's property, what is the primary source of nourishment? Ramea says the primary source of nourishment is the soil from where these vegetables are growing. And therefore, according to Ramea, it's the upper garden whose soil is nourishing these vegetables that is entitled to those vegetables. Whereas Rabbi Hud is of the opinion that it's the earth under these protruding vegetables that give these vegetables their primary nourishment, and therefore the halacha is that those vegetables, therefore the halacha is that the vegetables belong to the person from the lower garden. Says the Gemara, and we have this same machlokes of Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda elsewhere. The Tanya, the Gemara we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in Masechta Baba Basra. The Gemara in Masechta Baba Basra discusses where if somebody sells a number of trees to someone else, certainly the earth under between those trees belong to the purchase of the tree. And the Gemara there, Mitzvah Shem in Masechta Baba Basra, will learn, will discuss when, how many trees have to be bought and sold for that to be the case. But it's clear from the Gemara Masechta Baba Basra that if only one tree were bought, that only gives the buyer the right to the tree, but not to the property, not to the karka under around the tree. And the Braisa discusses the Tanya, Hayotzim and Agezim and Ashroshim, any shoots that sprout out of the trees, trunk or roots, Harei Shabal Karka, Divrei Ramea. According to Ramea's opinion, all these things, all these new trees, will belong to the owner of the property. Yudaimer, Minageza, anything that grows out of the trunk, Shabal Ilan, will belong to the owner of the tree, the buyer. Minashlashim, anything that sprouts out of the roots, Shabal Karka, will belong to the owner of the land, the seller. And as Tosis points out, the case that we're discussing in Masechta Baba Basra is actually quite different from the case that we're learning in our Mishnah. Because in the case of our Mishnah, it's a simple question, who is the owner of the vegetable? Do we follow the roots, or do we follow the ear, or not the root? There is a different question. And the question there is, where is the new tree emanating from? The question is, there's no question of ownership. The tree certainly belongs to the buyer. The carcass certainly belongs to the seller. We know from where the new tree is growing. And therefore, it's not a perfect comparison. Rather, Taisa says the only reason the Gemara is comparing the two cases, the question is, always, who is going to have the upper hand? And Remeir establishes by the source of nourishment giving that person the upper hand, which is similar to that situation. Says the Gemara, V'tanan nami Orla kai gavna. We have a similar machloikis regarding Orla. We know that all new fruits, the first 3 years, may not be eaten, the Orla. The fourth year, they may be eaten, but they're not the Revai. They only may be eaten in Yerushalayim. They have to be treated like Maaseh Sheni. And the Mishnah says regarding Orla, a similar situation. If there's a tree that's bearing fruit, an Ilan Ayotzim and a Gezim and a Shroshim, a new shoot that comes out of the trunk or the roots of an existing tree, Chai ba'orla divrei meya. According to Meya, it's not considered, these new things are not considered a continuation of the existing tree that's already past the 3 or 4 years. They're considered a new tree. Yudaimer, min a gezer, if it comes out of the trunk, it's not considered a new tree, it's rather considered part of the old tree. Mnashrashim, if it comes out of the roots, that is considered a new tree and will be chayiv in Orla. So it's again a similar situation. Do we what is considered the primary nourishment and what is considered the source of this new tree? V'tzrichi, and points out the Gemara, why do we have the Machlokes Ramei Rabbi Yehuda twice, both in Hilchus, both regarding Orla and also regarding ownership? Answers the Gemara. Diashmin Kamaisa, if we only had the question regarding ownership, we could argue, but how come Rabbi Yehuda b'shiv de Mamayna? Rabbi Yehuda says, since we're not quite sure what to do, Besdin paskins this way. Besdin has the right to decide that we believe, that we hold it to be property of the seller, we believe it should be the property of the buyer. Avagaba Orla di Surah. Regarding Orla, it's not a question of ownership. It's a question, is this fruit Orla and it may not be eaten? Or is it not Orla and it may be eaten? Given that it's a question of Issuv HaHeter, and it's a question that this may be something that truly may not be eaten, perhaps in that situation, Eima Moidalei L'Remeya, Rabbi Yehuda will agree that because we have this question, don't eat it, treat it like Orla. That's why we had to have the Machlokes stated explicitly, that Rabbi Yehuda says that if it comes out of the trunk, if new shoots sprout out of the trunk, it's considered a continuation of the existing tree, and there is no Orla question, it's completely mutter. On the other hand, if we only had the Machlokes stated regarding Orla, we would perhaps say, since, as we just explained, it's a question of Isser, it's a question of something being allowed to be eaten or not, that's why Rameya says, I have to be concerned that it's really Orla, and you may not eat it. Regarding the first question, maybe he'll agree to Rabbi Yehuda, that belongs perhaps to the buyer. Tzrichi, that's why the Machlokes had to be quoted twice. So we learned in the Mishnah of Shimon Omer, anything that if the person on top can reach, it's considered belonging to the top. If he can't reach it, it belongs to the bottom. Amri de Rabbi Yanai. So Rabbi Yanai explained, when we say that he has to be able to reach it, it means uvach lo ya'anis, that he doesn't have to strain himself to reach it. He should be able to reach it fairly easily. And the Mefarshim explained why. I saw two explanations. Because especially if we follow Rashi's understanding of our Mishnah, that Rav Shimon's opinion really is that it belongs to the person on top. It's just because it's not easily reached, Chazal said, it's not easily reached, we say that the person on top is mafgarit to the person on bottom. So why are we going to say that he's mafgarit, asked the Mefarshim, according to Rashi's understanding, in a situation where he can reach it, albeit with a strain? So some Mefarshim explain that these rules are shiurim, are measurements set forth by Chazal. And when Chazal set forth measurement, that these are the measurements, they establish the shiurim. And they establish that the shiur is that it belongs to the person on top only until it's an area that he can easily reach. That's one explanation. Another explanation that I saw, it really goes back to what we said in the Mishnah. The person on top is somewhat embarrassed to take all of these vegetables. We're protruding right over the property on the of the bottom. So therefore, Rav Shimon says as follows. If they're easily reached by the person on top, so he doesn't feel in any way that the person on bottom has really any claim for these vegetables. Because halachically, Rav Shimon certainly agrees with Rav Meir that it belongs to the person on top. It's just an issue of appearance. But if it's so easily reached by the person on top, there's no appearance that he's taking something that doesn't belong to him. However, once it becomes difficult, once it requires it's not easy for him to reach it, so then already looks like he's taking something that taka doesn't belong to him, and that's why the halacha will be, it should remain with the person on bottom. Ask the Gemara Bayer of Anan Vitem Reb Yirmiya. Magila Noifav and Magila Akroy. If it's a situation where the person on top can reach the vegetables themselves, but not the roots, or vice versa, Magila Ikroy Ven Magila Noifay. The vegetable is leaning downwards, and therefore he can't reach that part, but the stem is still within his reach. Mai, what will be the halacha? And the Gemara says, Teiku, it remains a shaila. So I saw that the Shaila of Tshuvas or Sridayesh asks, since we have this question, should it belong to the person on top, should it belong to the person on bottom? And again, following the opinion of Rashi, that Rav Shimon really agrees with Rav Meir. So if so, why don't we say, Ein Sof Kmoitz B'dei Vadai, that the owner is the primary owner is really the person on top, and that should at least cause that if we have a Shaila, he should be the one that should get this. Answer the Sridayesh, you don't use the concept of Ein Sof Kmoitz B'dei Vadai from one item to another item. Absolutely. As we learned at the beginning of the Sugya, Rameyer is, everybody's of the opinion that the roots belong to the person on top. And certainly the roots that are within reach of the person on top belong to him. But we're not talking about the roots. We're talking about the vegetable. And if the vegetable is not within his reach, or we're not sure is it considered within his reach, using a different item, using the root to prove why will be the halacha on vegetable is not the concept of Ein Sofek Moitzim Deivadai. Similarly, the Sridayesh discusses that why don't we say that he's the Marakama. The vegetables began with the root, and since they began with the root, therefore, the root, as the Gemara began, certainly belongs to the person on top. Shouldn't that create a situation that he's the Marukama, he's the original owner, and as we learned, and we will speak about this more, Masechet Babasra Mitzvashem, that when we have a question, we follow the Marukama. So again, the Sridayesh uses the same concept that he used in the previous explanation we gave. We don't use Marukama from one item to the other item. Yes, he has a Cheskes Marukama. He has a Cheskes Marukama on the root, but he doesn't have a Cheskes Marukama on the vegetable. And the Cheskes Marukama of the root doesn't work for the vegetable. Another explanation given why we can't use Cheskes Marukama here is explained because Cheskes Marukama is only in a situation, let's say we find something in the street, and we don't know who it belongs to. So there the halach is that we follow the Cheskes Marukama. However, here, it's not a question that we found it in an area that belongs to both of them, or belongs to both of them equally, like in the Rosh Hashanah. It's an issue on where, how do we view this vegetable, and therefore we can't apply the concept of Marukama here. Says the Gemara, Amar Ephraim Safra Talmidish Resh Lakish Vashim Resh Lakish Halach Rav Shimon. The halacha follows Rav Shimon. Amru Kamedi Shvar Malka. So this was reported in front of Shvar Malka. Amalu Aperim Namtil Rav Shimon. Rashi says, who was Shvar Malka? So for one pshat, Rashi wants to suggest it was Shmuel, who was considered like a king because he was such a great Talmud Chacham. But Rashi says that it's difficult to say that pshat. Number one, Rashi says it's hard to understand that Rav Shmuel wasn't aware of Rav Shimon's psak. He needed this to be reported to him. And furthermore, Shmuel was greater and lived before Rish Lakish. So he didn't need to hear from Rish Lakish that the halacha follows Rav Shimon. And therefore Rashi explains, and Tosfos learns this way, that Shvar Malka was actually the Persian king, and they were telling Shvar Malka this halacha. And as Tosfos points out, Shvar Malka was a person that was well versed in Jewish law, and therefore they were reporting to him how the Jewish law follows in this situation. The problem with following this pshat is that the Gemara says, U'mishpatim bal yidom, they were not allowed to teach Goyim Halacha. So how were they allowed to teach Shvar Malka this din? So some explain, it wasn't that they were teaching him Torah, that they were teaching him the Halachas. Rather, they were reporting and discussing this incident, which Shvar Malka heard and was very impressed by. Another pshat that the Paiskim say is that even though the halacha is that we're not allowed to teach Goyim Torah, however the Goyim have the Zayim Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and anything that applies to their knowledge that they need to know to fulfill the Zayim Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, that we're allowed to teach them. And since one of the Zayim Mitzvahs B'nei Noach is Dinim, that there should be civil law between by the Umas Ha'olam, so we're allowed to teach them these halachas. And this actually I saw is used la halacha l'maisa. The question comes up, the question can come up, if there are non-Jewish people, students learning in a Jewish school where Torah is taught, how could the Rebbe teach those Talmidim Torah, those students Torah? We just said Mishpatim Bayudom, we're not allowed to teach Goyim Torah. So actually, Rav Moshe has a tshuva regarding this subject. And Rav Moshe says that if the Rebbe who's teaching Torah doesn't intend to actually teach them Torah, all he's doing is he's learning and they're just listening, but he's not trying to actually impart and teach them Torah, then we don't have a problem of Mishpatim Bal Yidom. But Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein says a very interesting piece of advice. He says, if our Gemara, according to the Paiskin that we just explained, says that even though we're not allowed to teach Goyim Torah, we are allowed to teach them Torah that's relevant to them, so they should learn in that class Masechta Baba Kama, Baba Metziah, Baba Basra, the Masechta to speak about civil law, that we just said those are relevant to the Goyim, and those are the halakas that we're allowed to teach Goyim, and therefore we wouldn't have a problem of Mishpatim Bal Yidom. The Mefarshim also explain, as we now, Beza Hashem Yisbarach, end our Masechta, we know that the Masechta began with the case of Shnei Mechs, Metalis, two people holding on to Talis, each one claiming that they have an ownership in the Talis, and the Mishnah said that what should be done is Yachloikut, should be divided. We know that the Gemara says, Masechta Kedushin, Taflam Ramad Beis, the Pasuk says, as Vor Besufoi, Afilo av benoi, father and a son, harav talmid a rebbe and his talmid, sha'oiskin b'tayra, are learning Torah, b'shar echad, they're learning Torah together, and asim oivim zelazeh, and the arguments sometimes could get quite heated, einim zozim esam, they don't leave, ach nasu oivim zelazeh. They, at the end, harmony prevails. As vahav b'sufay, they have love at the end. And actually, that's what it says in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah explains, what is the machloikis shehi l'shem shemayim? The machloikis of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, where they had quite heated argument, but the tachlis of their arguments were to understand the Dvar Hashem, what the halacha is, and that was the machloikis shehi l'shemayim shemayim, versus the machloikis of Korach v'Hadassai. Say the Mefarshim, that's how we stand our Masechta. We began the Masechta with Yachloiku, with a Machloikus. But our Masechta is a model of how Divrei Torah work. We begin with a Machloikus. We begin with Yachloiku. But we end with Rav Shimon working out a compromise. How we have these two individuals, both claiming that they own the vegetables, and Rav Shimon comes up with a compromise, how the person on top gets some vegetables, the person on bottom ends up with some vegetables, and we have Shalom, the Derech HaTorah, the Mechamta Shal Torah. We begin with a Yachloiku, but we end with Shalom. But then I saw another beautiful pshat. We know that in the formation of how most people in our community live, in our early formative years, we go to yeshiva, we learn in kollel, but then most of us go out to the world to do what we have to do to work. But how is a Jew to live? A Jew is to live that he should always remain connected to his roots, connected to what he learned in the yeshiva, connected to Torah, connected to the Beis HaMedrash. Says Rav Shimon, we have a person who left the Kaisli Beis HaMedrash, who's out in the world, but as long as he could still reach the vegetables that are growing out of the ground, until he's still connected to his roots, then everything belongs to him. He will be successful. On the other hand, if he loses that connection, he can't reach it. And maybe we could even say a step further, he only can reach it with a strain. It's not something that he does all the time, his connection to Torah, his connection to Avodas Hashem, then he loses it, and it doesn't belong to him. It's our job to remain connected to our roots, connected to the Torah that we inculcate from our young age throughout our whole life. Always remain connected to the Beis HaMedrash. And indeed, after hearing this type of life, says the Gemara, Apirium Namtei Reb Shimon. There are a number of pshatim in Apirium Namtei Reb Shimon. One pshat is that we show graciousness to him. He's a worthy person. Another pshat is that Apirium Namtei Reb Shimon, he is a great person. He was able to come up with a solution. And another pshat I saw is that Apirium is from the wording Pru or Revu. A person like Reb Shimon is worthy to have children and generations emanating from him of greatness, because he has shown the true way of how to live and has shown what Torah is all about. And Taka, maybe all the pshatim should be emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us as we now finish being Messiahim, this difficult and long Masechta, Masechta of Metziah, Apirium Namtei, which the Eibishter should give us bracha to all of us. We should always have the schus of remain connected to the roots of the Beis HaMedrash, to the roots of Torah, to the Derech HaTorah, to the Derech HaVodas Hashem, to Limud HaTorah. And because we will live that type of life, Apirium Namtei, we will be blessed. Apirium Namtei, our children will be blessed, and all of Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help, should be blessed. Hanu lach abayis v'aliyah, v'slikah lach masechta b'metziah.